I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. This week, we have the distinct pleasure of talking with Pastor Bruce and Julie Williams from C3 Adelaide Hills. Hi, guys.
Hi. Pastor Phil, how you doing?
Wonderful. It's always a pleasure to meet with these people because I honestly look at their lives and I don't think I've ever seen a bad attitude anywhere near them. And would that be true?
Yeah, we're pretty crazy.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we have our moments.
We
try
not to show it.
Exactly. And they began in ministry here in Adelaide 29 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So tell us from the beginning how you actually ended up being called into the ministry.
Yeah, well, we were serving as lay people in a mainstream denomination all our lives, both brought up in Christian homes, and got saved in our teen years, got married early, been married for 45 years.
Wow.
And we've just journeyed through life together as Christ followers. But we got touched, as in filled by the Holy Spirit, in the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that just set us on a trajectory of thinking long and hard about serving God a little more deeply, I guess,
right,
is the word you'd use. And me, Julie, was always front-footed. I'm a bit slow on the uptake. Took me 10 years to say yes to actually considering going into full-time ministry.
And right.
So we started a journey of that in the Uniting Church at the time, and God had other ideas.
And you were training to be a minister.
Yeah. And we heard God a little more clearly say, I want you to go and plant a church.
So tell me about the moving from that denomination over into becoming a C3 church.
Yeah. Well, as in the process?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about the burning bush?
We had a contact with someone else from C3 who had come down to work with one of the other churches here, and he actually prophesied over us that we'd plant a church, which doesn't happen in the mainstream denomination that we were in.
Right.
And we're like, okay, well, that's different. So, and I really sort of got that really on my heart.
She had peace about it.
I had peace about it. And Bruce was saying, no way. And then he says one night, he says, no, I've got to see a burning bush for that to happen. And we were at another event, and on the way home, up on the side, the CFS was burning off. It wasn't a burning bush, but there was a burning bush. I'm like, oh, Bruce, look, it's a burning bush. You can't deny it now. We have to do it.
It was a single gum tree on fire.
Is that right?
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, God, I'm kind of listening now.
There were lots of things like that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we sort of tested the waters at a C3 conference, got right, invited to one, and God showed us in a picture at that conference, a picture of waving goodbye to what we had been
right,
part of and stepping into the unknown.
Fantastic.
Which we hadn't done, which is obviously by faith.
Yeah.
But we both got this, got a rounded picture about it.
And we did, and we also had that, you know, the feeling you go and you walk somewhere that's familiar.
Yeah.
And we kind of, I don't know if we used these exact words, but it was like, we're home.
Yeah.
We walked in like complete room of strangers.
To the conference, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like we're at home.
That's such a common statement that people feel that God gives them when they're in the right place,
yes,
when they're where they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And I remember Mark and Bernadette Kelsey said the same thing.
Yeah.
And I've said the same thing when and it's distinct from those other places where you actually don't feel at home.
Yes.
It's not that there's anything wrong with those churches, but God has a place for us and a sense of peace.
Yes.
And being at home.
Yeah.
comes with that.
Yep. Yes, yeah.
So then you started this church and you became eventually the overseer for South Australia.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was a surprise. Well, we've always loved it. We found ourselves always wanting to be investing in the other pastors that were in Adelaide by that stage.
Right.
And so we just counted it an absolute joy and part of what we did as a church.
Right.
The congregation realised that was time consuming in some respects, but they've always backed us. Mm-hmm. Our church has always had a sense of we own this as not just Bruce and Julie's call by the leadership of C3 to be overseers.
Right.
But our congregation was right on board with that, which made it
fantastic.
A pretty easy journey.
Did you always have this building?
No, we started in a primary school in a horrible little music room with some really basic equipment. And, we were set up and packed up in a hall for about 8 years.
Yeah, that really? Was a big, dark, dingy hall.
Yeah, but then you bought this.
20 years ago this year.
And what a beautiful building.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so.
Fantastic. In fact, on this site, you host every year a Christmas market festival.
Yeah, have done.
And I've heard that there's like 70,000 people sometimes that have come to it.
That was our world record, I think.
It's dropped back to 55,000.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Over three nights.
That's
not a week or a month. Yeah. It's a pretty jam-packed, action-packed weekend.
Yeah.
What a testimony for the church.
Yeah. Yeah, people ask us oftentimes, do you do it to raise money? We've never done it. It's cost us money, so it's never been about money.
Right.
It's been about wanting to give the community access to our church property and our team of awesome volunteers who just love on people the whole weekend.
Right. Yeah, that is such a great way to reach the community. Yeah. And I guess the bulk of them are tourists.
Yeah, people come from near and far. They're
right.
All over the countryside.
Right.
Dorf's a very popular tourist destination in and of itself. So
astonishing.
We just add to that.
So this town, Handorf, mm-hmm. is an ancient German town, basically, isn't it? So they celebrate all things German, from sausages and sauerkraut to huge mugs of beer.
Pork knuckle.
I've seen a few of those. I've been walking along the street and you look down on a plate and there's this huge bone.
Yes. That's it.
Like not just once but several times. I'm going like, I don't know what that is, but it looks like enough food for a tribe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Good German fare, though.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Amazing. So you also have embarked on helping us in Fiji.
Yeah.
With Michael Nassau over there and his C3 church, and have helped them build houses.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So we actually were going to Europe to start with to doing some impact, reach beyond sort of work.
Right.
But felt that our church couldn't get involved. They could financially, but they couldn't come.
Right.
So we joined up with a church to go over to Fiji and built a house, actually with a different church in Fiji at that stage.
Okay.
Still C3 church, but a different area. And so we built about three or four houses there. And then we've, at the last few years, we've actually been up in with Michael and Lomi up in Lotoka or Lovu.
C3 Thrive.
Yeah. And we take a team over every year. It can vary. This year was a very small team. It was only 11 of us,
right.
But it can be up to about 20, 25 people and spend 4 days to build a house.
Right.
A very basic house.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But it's all it's up off the ground because it's in a floodplain, so it's a metre off the ground and it's cyclone proof, and all of our houses have survived all the cyclones since.
Fantastic.
It's really good. So it's to Australian standards.
Yes.
Because they didn't have that. They do now, but they didn't have standards.
Right.
It's just a great experience for a lot of our guys to
get. I've been there and seen those houses.
Yes.
It's amazing. And to watch the mother when she's handed the keys to her new house and just reaping.
It's absolutely,
so thankful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, well, I would like to see not just, you've built 14 so far.
Yes.
And, let's believe that we'll get massive numbers of teams and do that in all sorts of places all around the world.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who are living in these really vulnerable situations.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, my encouragement is the church. Our church is not a large church by any stretch, but we raise that money to pay for those materials.
Right.
People pay for themselves to go there, and it's just we've invested as a church in it, and our church loves it.
Amazing.
Because it's such a practical, like at the end of the day, you've done something, you can say, look at that, we built that house.
Right.
And oftentimes in missions and ministry, you kind of go, did we do any different?
Right.
Did we make any difference?
Did we make a difference? Yeah. Well, I would love to see villages that encompass a church, a school, a medical center.
And
housing, affordable housing.
Yeah.
And if we can keep focusing on doing that, just building these villages in as many places as possible and meet the needs of people, which is what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He met the physical need of people and then they followed him.
Yes.
And I think it's such a basic principle of reaching the world for Christ is solve people's problems, meet their needs, and they open to him. They open up to the truth, the gospel.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So let me talk about your kids. all three of your children, two boys, one girl, are amazing kids. They're all serving the Lord in ministry. Let me get this right. Simon and Georgia are in Parkside.
Yes.
Correct.
They're overseeing that area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Michael and Sarah are in Queanbeyan.
Correct.
And
Emma and John.
Emma and John are here.
Yes.
Looking after.
You're doing well. That's all things you've got to get in your head.
All things Adelaide. And just seeing them now mature, because I remember them when they're teenagers and they're at conferences and involved. And then I saw last night, I think it's Michael and...
No, Emma and John's
boy. Emma and John's boy.
And
I lay my hands on pray for him.
Yeah.
He was touched by God.
Yes.
So that's your grandchildren now.
Yep.
What a legacy.
Yeah.
So I would love for you to share tips on parenting for pastors and pastors' families in ministry.
Okay, what do we do? First thing I actually would say is that you have to love your spouse and the kid. You've got to totally, they've got to see that. They've got to see that we are on the same team.
Yep.
They're not going to put us against each other at all. We're on the same team and we're for them as well.
Right.
So I think that's a really key thing.
Yeah.
You've got to invest in your marriage, invest in your in yourselves as a couple.
Yeah.
And then with the kids.
Yeah. We actually realised, like, ministry is demanding of time.
Yeah.
So you're out and about, you've got meetings, you're doing one thing or another. And our kids tagged along or came as they got older, they just kept coming. And as teenagers, they didn't really ever withdraw from being involved, whatever we were doing. But at the end of the day, we realised it is quite demanding on the family's time. So we always made a point, for example, of holidays.
Mm.
We just painted a vision in our family. We've got holidays coming up in September or whenever it was. We're going to go away. We're going to stay in motels. We're going to actually go to restaurants for dinner. We're going to have a great time. We're going to go to a beach. And so we really ramped up focusing on this, and as a reward's the wrong word, but like let's see that as a blessing from God that we can do that.
That's kind of a slight compensation for the fact that you never have Sundays off. Weekends are chewed up. We did the same thing. We made sure that every year we had a winter holiday and a summer holiday with our kids.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting his magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, And there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you. So tell me some of the instructions and teachings you gave your children.
Well, we always ate at the meal table. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't sit around and eat dinner whenever you want. Like, we had a pretty semi, like, formal dinner time at the dining room table. So
this is not a small issue.
No.
This is huge. And I think people underestimate the power of turning the TV off and sitting at a table and having no devices.
Yeah, well, that'd be four devices.
Yeah. And it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible, especially with kids under 10 or what, you know, to actually get them to be at the table, to actually have kind of conversations that aren't taken over by other things, but just having a sensible, really good, open-hearted conversation. Mm. And to even get to the table. Mm. I mean, I know kids have never sat at a table for any meal.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like we had some kids in our house at times who were troubled and were trying to, and we said, let's all sit down and have breakfast. They said, what is that?
Totally.
She said, my mum would walk out the door, dad's gone to work, and I just grab a bar and glass of milk. And but to sit down at a set table and actually eat together is, it's a kingdom thing. Mm. Jesus did it with his disciples.
And we always gave thanks. We were, love it or hate it, we were a singing family. We used to sing grace. It's like, my gosh, you know, cringe factor.
This is awesome.
You don't know whether it actually glued something in to the kids or not.
It's awesome. I love it.
But the grandkids have picked it up, not because
really?
We taught them. It was another family that we knew, and they now like to do that. No.
How long is the grace?
About
a minute?
No, it's a bit short.
30 seconds.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. People singing grace before their meal. Okay.
I don't know of it.
So, and so would you order in or cook? Or?
Oh, no.
We cooked.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of resources. So, I mean, that's why even the holidays, we put as much as we could into what that was going to be.
Yeah,
because we were church planting. We weren't by vocation. Well, I was for the first few years, but we didn't have a lot of resources. So we cooked and
learned to trust God.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome thing though too. Yeah. I mean, because even in the process of cooking, the family can get involved. And then in the process of cleaning up, in some ways I lament the dishwasher because we used to all wash the dishes together. And we'd all sing. We'd sing around while we're all doing dishes.
That's cool.
One would wash, one would wipe. And just anything that can get families doing things together is worth it.
Yeah.
And if it's a little bit of gardening or helping out in the yard or doing those, I think, it really helps. Give us some other things, practices in your household that you did.
We, just came to mind. We had, like when kids are teenagers, there's always going to be moments where it's just all gone to custard.
Yeah.
We had a few of those moments, at one point we got to one point where we decided we needed to establish some values, family values, what they were. So we did an acrostic for the surname Williams, and the kids had to think of some words that were values.
Yeah,
and we actually planted that on the fridge.
Right.
And if anything went AWOL, it's like, go and read the values. Is this lined up with the value of the family?
So it was W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S.
Yeah.
And five lots of words for each of those.
Right.
Because we all contributed to it.
Right.
So, we all had our own word for each of
those. Oh, your own W.
Yeah, yeah.
Your own I.
Yeah, yeah.
And we put them all together. So, so there were lots of different values there.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah, it's like, you know, again, it's like there's no way of measuring what that did or didn't do. But but even in a family talking about values, I think it's a great conversation to have with teenagers. Like, it's not just behaviour, it's our values.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, as the Williams family.
Yeah,
definitely. So if in terms of correction with your kids, how did you bring that about?
Not always.
You just said, go and read the values.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's always going to
happen. Not always well. Right. You could ask Michael about a few moments with his dad, but, right. You know, a bit of argy-bargy as older teenager, but, you know, at the end of the day, that is what it is.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of really horrible moments with kids.
No.
You're just what I would call normal parental hiccups with, you know, just, I'll give you an example. Michael will forgive me. We went to a conference, C3 conference, left our kids.
Yeah.
Teenagers, he's like 18 or 19 maybe at that stage.
No, school, 17.
Oh, no, sorry, 17. And at that time we had a V8 Commodore car.
Yeah.
I hid the keys in my underpants drawer. Didn't tell him where they were. We're at conference and we get a phone call from our neighbours said, just letting you know that Michael's driven off with in the car with some mates. And I'm going, what the heck? Anyway, we dealt with that when we got home.
Right.
He told me many, many, many years later how fast he drove that car. I'm not talking about it publicly. Anyway, that's just an example. I think our family was totally normal in that respect.
Yeah, totally. I think all of us have had our kids find the keys and go for a ride somewhere.
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, the whole idea, though, of having your kids working with you, like in what you're doing in the vision as a family is such an empowering thing, right?
Yeah.
So strong.
Yeah. Mm. I think the other thing, actually, you've just caused me to think of another thing. We're both musical. So when we started, I played the piano, keyboard, actually it was a horrible old piano, and Julie sang led worship. So we were a two-person kind of outfit. Often forgot to take up the offering because we were doing everything.
Oops.
Yeah. But as we went on with that, all our kids picked up an interest in music instruments. So, so they've all always been involved as they got older in the church music team.
Right.
And so the music part of church, which is probably what kept us in church when we were teenagers, was music.
Yeah, yeah. And for the Spirit-filled community, churches around the world, praise and worship has dominated. It's a very big signature of the Pentecostal church.
It's a huge glue.
Yeah.
Like it glues us together. Worship glues us together.
It does. Yeah. It does. There is the whole idea of worship is that it isn't just something you do on your own.
Yeah.
It is a community energy.
Yeah.
And everybody is blessed by that. Let us come and worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Bow down. So in terms of pastoring your church, running your church, how have you succeeded in lasting this long? 29 years is not a short time these days for people in ministry. And so what would you attribute that longevity to?
That's a tricky question.
Well, we knew the call.
Yeah.
Like, and there are times when it's been very difficult.
Yes.
That we've just had to go back to that and go, we know God called us.
Yes.
If God called us, he's going to help us to get through it.
Right.
Whatever the situation was. So we would say that to anyone, to all of our kids who've gone and pastored churches, you've got to know that you're called. We never dreamt that they would go and do that.
Right.
It was never part of my dreams ever. I wanted them to be serving in the house, yes, but never pastoring. I mean, in fact, we say don't go
pastoring. Don't
do that. Don't do that.
Don't sign up for that.
Don't do that. But we've said if you're going to.
Now all of them are.
They all are. And we've said you need to know that you're called because some days that's the only thing you've got to fall back on.
Exactly.
Is know that you're called.
Exactly.
So if they've, you know, been wondering, I've said go off and, you know, some of them we said go off and spend a day with God and, you know, pray and, you know, come back and tell us where you've got to. And if they haven't, go off again.
Right.
You've got to have that call. There's no point in doing it if you haven't.
If you haven't.
Think.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we would say.
Exactly. And I've always found that having close friends in ministry has always helped me to travel through difficult valleys.
Mm.
And so in C3, we've often pushed the idea of, and really promoted the idea of emotionally bonding, having relationships at a level that you're open to one another, you're free to talk about whatever. And I'm not talking about that like that with everybody, just that close circle of people around you who know what you're going through. And I know many ministers don't have that.
Mm.
They're on their own. They don't feel like they're allowed to have friends, especially not in their own church. But the friends they do have are at a distance from outside, and that they might relate to them. But in terms of having a solid core relationship, I think there's got to be at least one other person. And it's better if you've got like three or four. And I know we have.
Yes.
I have. And we have never felt alone in any trial.
Yeah.
There's always somebody who's rung us, or we've rung them, or else we've all gotten together and made sure. Right now we have one of our pastor's wives in our team, our close team that run C3, who's struggling with cancer. And so everybody just comes around in strong support.
Yeah.
And it's not just taking food around, it's feeling their pain and walking with them.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
And I know you guys have had, you know, some pretty good relationships with people that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was going to say, like where that's not necessarily in front of you, say you're in a church that's a little isolated or a little bit out of, just outside of a major city or whatever, the thing I've loved about C3 all the way through is we've had the formal arrangement of an overseer.
Yeah.
And those overseer relationships have always translated with time, if they weren't to start with, into friendship.
Yes. Right. That's awesome.
And so, people get a little bit funky about, you know, I didn't get really asked if I wanted so-and-so to oversee me. So we had some people appointed as overseers that we knew in the movement. We didn't know them well. But by gosh, they're greatest friends now. We love the bits. They love us. They,
yeah.
And there's people like Greg.
Would that
French.
Include Greg and Julie?
Yeah. Julie French, you know.
Yeah.
Greg's just a champion, as we've talked before.
Yes.
Around the
movement,
that people love him because he's just the kind of guy that picks up the phone. Hey, how you doing?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And you need that kind of person in your world to survive, don't you?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's probably been more. We've struggled when you have talked about the friendships because we haven't got that within our church, particularly.
Right.
We probably both have got people that we can talk with. And now that our kids are older, obviously we can too.
Yeah.
But we've, our overseers have become our friends. So they have, and there's another C3 church couple that we can talk to who are in Adelaide that we, we would talk with. So we haven't really had that. Like you talk about that and you've had that, and we've often gone, people say to us, we haven't got that in our church. We don't have that. And we're like, well, it's okay, but God's going to give you people in your world that are going to be like that. So don't feel you have to have exactly that.
Right.
but there are people, and make sure you cultivate those friendships.
But sometimes I've tried to reduce what the ministry is down to really simple ideas and simple practices.
Yes.
And one of them would be, the ministry is making friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you can build your church by attendance and by just getting people to come along to a show you put on Sunday. But that's really not going to satisfy the aching void within people's hearts who long for fellowship, communion with other believers.
Yes.
And our task, I think, as ministers, is to help create that community where people, they become friends. I know once we had a survey done on our church and we were considered one of the most friendly churches. And everybody's going, that's amazing. But in the staff meeting, I said, well, it's okay. It's nice to be friendly, but Disneyland is also friendly.
Yeah.
And I want you to make friends.
Yes.
Yeah. So that you don't just get people filling out cards for membership and what have you, but you actually eat a meal with them at your house, and you bond over the table, and you bond over walking through valleys and celebrating with them, go to their graduations and when they have a significant event, if you've got theirness, you're always going to create those bonds.
Yes. I think I agree. It's absolutely key. I would say of all the things that we, over the 29 years, have found the easiest to neglect is the intentionality of that,
because
you can get caught up in the business of doing the service, running prayer meetings, all that stuff, and that's all part and parcel of how it works. But you can neglect building that sense of urgency to make friendship.
Yeah.
Friendship's the core.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I want to say thank you very much for sharing with us today all things church and family. And people, make sure you hit subscribe or that you like, comment, share. this with people you might think of as you've listened to it who could be helped by this. And we look forward to talking with you again soon. God bless you. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world. And our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.